Welcome to the Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coast Myrna. A show that showcases content and how to change your brain to change your life. A show empowering women who have been abused, betrayed, abandoned, or rejected to change how they feel about themselves and become co-creative sources attracting abundant love and happiness into their lives. I'm your host. I am a certified professional coach, author of 3 books, a motivational speaker, and I know from personal experience that change is very hard. In my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of poverty and child abuse, betrayal and disappointment, and how I turned that all around to live an abundant life. This show is going to give you the tools to do the same in your life. And today we have with us a wonderful guest, Elizabeth Gifford Mathea. Now, I hope I said that correctly, Elizabeth, but welcome to our show, and how are you?
Well, thank you so much, Coach Myrna. I am thrilled to be here, and I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I noticed that we use the word abundant a lot in your biography and in mine. So right away, we have synergistic energies. Well, let me tell you a little bit more about Elizabeth. Elizabeth Gifford Mathea is a business coach, a professional speaker, an expert strategist who teaches entrepreneurs and business owners how to create abundance. There's that word. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth creates a powerful, customized, step-by-step process to get to the heart of what's holding you back so you can have the money and business you deserve and live the life you've always dreamed of. Creator of the Empower Hour, she works with you to resolve feeling stuck and overwhelmed and creates a plan of action for your business that fits you best. Her clear, concise programs make it simple to shift from fear to full gear. As an educator, multi-million dollar sales producer, health and spiritual advocate, she brings unstoppable drive to energize you toward success. As a professional speaker, Elizabeth brings to her audiences messages of personal and business growth based on relationships and trust. Her clients make more money, leverage time, and build loyal relationships and create legacies. She believes that you all have unique talents. When you have a plan, are proactive, and committed, you can create financial freedom. Her global vision is to inspire, connect, and create abundance for others. Well, isn't she the perfect guest? Thank you, Elizabeth. When I read your bio, I thought that was somebody who was talking about me. We are so incredibly similar, so I am going to enjoy our conversation today. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I love it.
Yeah, okay. So, today we are going to be talking about success from beginning to close. And I think what Elizabeth is going to do is teach us how to, from the sale to the close. So beginning to the close, from the time you meet your prospect. And so we're going to dive right in because we know that sales is very important. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, I'm not a salesperson. Well, we are constantly selling. We're selling our children. We're selling our spouses. We're selling our employers if we're not business people. So every interaction is a sales interaction. So this should be a very interesting conversation. Now, Elizabeth, right off the bat, did you want to tell us a little bit yourself and what is your journey towards being, you know, empowering women in creating the Empower Hour?
Absolutely. I'd love to share that with you. I have always had this vision to be able to help women to lift themselves up and to create a space for themselves in this world. Women are so incredibly creative and abundant, you know, as we use that word. And I've always wanted to be able to create the possibility for them so that they can move from the possibilities to profit and really not only support themselves, but just live a financially free life and also time and money freedom.
Okay. Okay, so that's great. So what was your path into becoming a business coach?
Well, my path has been a long one, and it's always a journey, and I'm always looking to not so much what is the end goal, but what is my next direction. So I started many years ago as an educator, and I've always been an educator. That was my first love. And then I stepped into the sales part of life, never thinking that I would ever do that. And I became a real estate agent and grew that business where it is now running on its own because I built it based on relationships, based on trust. Everyone has always come to me and said, Elizabeth, what is your advice on this? And I've mentored so many people, and I knew that the next step was to coach and help entrepreneurs and small business owners to be able to grow their business so they can live the life that they want.
Okay. Well, you know, this is so incredible that I'm also a licensed real estate agent. So, I mean, our similarity just continues. And now I understand what you're meaning about relationship, because as a real estate agent, that is how you build your business. You build your business by creating relationships. A lot of people don't understand that the multi-million dollar realtors, and I guess from your bio, you know, you were one of them. The way they do that is by they cultivate the relationship, so they own that sales relationship. When people, they sell someone a house, when they're ready to sell that house and buy another one, they come back to their same realtor, they refer their friends and their family. So yeah, if you want to move out from the struggling realtor to the multi-million dollar real estate, is that you have to cultivate those relationships and have them for life. So I understand the relationship sell from that point of view. So awesome. So now you're coaching entrepreneurs and business owners. What is the challenge that entrepreneurs and business owners experience when they're trying to close a sale from your experience?
Okay, well, my experience and those whom I've coached and those whom I have observed is they basically focus on what they want and not what the potential client needs. So they're looking for a sale, and then they're looking to move on, but they're not looking to build a loyal client. So they're putting their needs first before the client's.
Right. Yeah, that is, well, you know, you have to be, yeah, you would have to be an expert salesperson not to understand that, because when you're hungry, you're hungry, and your mind is saying, hey, you know, I need to close the sale in order for me to eat. So business owners, real estate agents, you know, that paycheck is not coming in. So it's very, a lot of people would, understand that when you're hungry, you need to eat kind of thing. But, yeah, in order for them to be successful, then they're not going to close the sale if they're only concentrating on their needs. They're only going to close the sale when they're giving something of value and the customer needs to see it. So I get you. All right. And anything else you want to say on that, or?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's you put it together very well also, is that sometimes they're too hungry and they're just looking for that one client rather than building up a client base.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. So what do you feel is the difference between making a sale and creating that loyal client base that you have mentioned a couple of times?
Sure. Well, it's, again, the loyal clients are based on relationships that are built, which is based on trust. And, you know, you can establish trust quickly, but it also takes time. So you're doing both at the same time. And they will do anything. A loyal client will do anything to work only with you. They will even pay more to work with you. They will refer clients to you. But if you're trying to make a pressured sale, it may, if you're lucky, only net you one sale, and there won't be any recurring income, not to mention damaging your reputation.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I get that totally. So like I'm saying, you know, it takes a very skilled salesperson to see the long-term picture and not – and then you also have to say, you're not saying, well, you know, I'm only going to be doing this as a short-term goal. Then you operate differently for if you're saying, you know, this is going to be my life work and I'm going to retire on this. It's a totally different mindset. And, of course, we are talking here about mindset transformation. So the mindset we're talking about here is not to go to feed the hunger, but to have build a relationship. It's almost a difference between a job and a career, right? When you choose a job, it's something you're saying, you know, I'm just doing this to feed the family and to pay the bills. When you choose a career, you go into it in a long-term approach. Some people also maybe go in at the bottom, you know, take a lesser pay just so that they can build their career. So we're saying almost the same thing here is the difference between making a sale and creating a loyal client. Okay.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. And what would you say is the first step in for a successful meeting? How would they, the client now, are we using real estate as our model or what is the business we're using as a model?
Well, I mean, you can use real estate because they're independent contractors, but this would be any business owner. It doesn't matter whether they, you know, work out of their home or they have an office or an entrepreneur who's creating their own business.
Right, I knew that, but I'm just saying for our conversation, are we going to use real estate as a model? For instance, my question is, you know, what is the first step in creating a successful meeting with a prospect? What is it you're going to be doing? How are you going to set up the meeting?
Right.
What is the model we are using?
Sure, we can use real estate. That would be
okay.
Fine. That would be
okay.
Fine.
Okay, well, go ahead. As
sure.
A realtor or as a sole owner, proprietor, same situation because real estate agent is, you know, somebody that's working for themselves. So, yeah, we can use that analogy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Perfect. And since this is all about mindset, actually the first step is to set an intention ahead of time. To set an intention for what your successful meeting is going to look like. So not just the intention of making a sale. If this is the only intention, again, we talked about you will be acting in desperation mode and the prospect or the potential client will feel that. But set an intention for a pure, successful conversation in which you are there to help them to make their lives better, to be open to questions, and to be the expert. So, you know, you can do this verbally with your intention ahead of time or write your intention down before you even get to the meeting.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else?
No, I mean, that would be the very first step is to have that positive intention of what you would like the outcome to have at the meeting and to set it up so that you're there to serve and not to sell.
So let's use the model of a real estate agent. So we know that a real estate agent, when they have a prospect and they're going to have a meeting, they are going to be selling a home. So what do you think when you coach, let's say you're coaching me as a realtor, what would you coach me to set up as an intention other than closing a sale, of selling them a home?
Okay. So the intention would be to listening to everything that your potential client has to say, listen to all of their needs, and I would write, say if we were going on a listing appointment, I would write down, as I'm having conversation, write down all of the things that your seller or your buyer needs so that you're not putting in your ideas of what they might need. Get an idea of exactly what their needs are so that you can hone that down and then you can serve them in the best way possible.
Okay. All right. So their desires and their wants and things like that. Okay.
Correct.
All right. So, Elizabeth, let's take a quick station break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mindset Transformations Radio Show with Coach Myrna. My guest today is also a business coach, speaker, and an author, Miss Elizabeth Gifford Mathea. And we are talking in our first segment of building relationships of trust instead of concentrating on your wants and your needs. We all know that we're in business to make money, but if you lead with that, then you make less money because your clients sense your desperation because we're all spiritual beings, and maybe you don't actually work to the benefit of a client. You're working for the benefit of yourself. So what Elizabeth was telling us is that we need to, when we go into a meeting or a conversation, our intention has to be serving the client to the best of your ability. And again, I noticed from her bio that she's also a spirituality coach. And intention is a very spiritual thing. So once you set that intention, then you will actually achieve that. So as we go into our segment, or second segment, my second question would be, you know, a follow-up on that first one. How else should you prepare before meeting with your prospect? There something? I know we have setting the intention. What else should we do?
Sure. That's a great question. So there are quite a few steps, but some of them are to be prepared ahead of time. No matter what type of meeting you're going into, you want to be able to know your stuff. You want to be that expert and anticipate possibly what are some questions that your potential client is going to ask so that you have that ready. And if you have any supplies ready, make sure that you bring those with you. Also, make sure that you know how you are different, that you can differentiate yourself from anyone else in the particular business that you work in, whether it's real estate or whatever. There are so many clients out there, and there's so much business for all to have, but what sets you apart, and be able to describe that and let those potential clients know. And then, of course, there's confirm the appointment, because even though you know you're ready to show up, sometimes, you know, your potential client has either forgotten or something has happened. Dress for success, and one of the most important things is to be on time. And in my book, if you're a couple of minutes early, then you're on time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, we had a whole mouthful there, so that is awesome. I have been a salesperson when I came out of college, I started selling. My first sales job was computers. Then, you know, I had my own business, and you have to sell as a limousine operator. And so my whole life has been on selling. And, you know, a couple of things, and I went into real estate. I also sold health insurance. And I remember, you know, all your bosses will tell you all these different things. So a couple of them was, yeah, you know, watches are never synchronized. So always be 5 minutes early, because you might be 5 minutes early and somebody feels you're on time. And if you're 1 minute late is late, you know what I mean? So they tell you, if you're going for an interview, be 15 minutes early. But, yeah, being on time sets a tone that you don't have to start off apologizing, or a lot of people don't understand that. Now, confirming the appointment, you know, as a salesperson, I have a couple of things on that. But, you know, has that always worked for you personally, confirming the appointment?
Typically it does. I mean, 99% of the time it does. And confirming the appointment is a great way to make sure that people are going to show up, and ask them, how do they want to confirm the appointment? It's, as I'm sure that you know, some people respond better by text, some by email, some by personal phone call. So find out how that prospective client wants to be contacted and confirm that appointment that way. And that helps for people to show up on time.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked you that is because a couple of my sales managers has told me not to confirm appointments, because when you call someone and ask them to confirm the appointment, you're giving them an out. But, I mean, if you're going to be driving a far away, and I have actually done that, you know, when I was, selling health insurance, for instance, my manager would tell me not to confirm the appointment, because if you call someone, I'm calling, and it's true, 50% of the time they're going to say, hey, you know what, I have to cancel. So he says, you know, just show up. So as a real estate agent or, you know, small business owner, I mean, we all have to, you know, figure out what works best for us. But what I do right now, I always confirm the appointment because I'm not driving anywhere. And I'm not selling somebody something that they don't want. But when you're doing, like, health insurance or even real estate and things like that, you know, people are very finicky. So, you know, you work with what works for you. And, of course, differentiating yourself. It's always very important to know what sets you apart, as you said. But a lot of times there isn't anything other than you, the person. As real estate or as coaches or as, you know, whatever business that you're in, you probably offer the same services. So the only difference is the individual. And that's how you, you know, you set yourself apart. What is it that you do differently? Me, I've always set myself apart by the fact that I promise, I keep my promises. You know, I stand behind, I deliver what I promise. I'm like Walt Disney. Yeah, you're under promise and over deliver. That's been my motto, kind of thing. So, you know, that's one way that someone can set themselves apart by, you know, what their tagline is or what it, you know, the type of service that, you know, they offer. And, I like the one about being prepared, set yourself up as an expert, anticipate the questions. Any good sales training is going to tell you to anticipate the questions, have something for the objections, you know, because people are always going to throw some at you. And, yeah, you got to know your stuff, and you've got to be genuine. I do not believe in those canned sales calls. I mean, you know, or canned, even yesterday I was in Walmart, and someone was trying to sell me Comcast. And, you know, I told her I have it, but she's trained to say, you know, she's trained her rebuttal because, you know, everybody is going to tell you they have it or they don't want it or something like that. And she's trained. So, and I recognize all those things because I've been in sales myself. But, yeah, you've got to be genuine and don't come with, you know, a script. It's not going to work.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So we're getting the meat here out of this. All right. How should a successful meeting be conducted? So here we are. We've set the intention. We know that we've prepared. Yeah, preparation is incredibly important. We're prepared. We're an expert. We've confirmed the appointment, so we know that when we show up or they're going to show up, we've dressed for success, and we're on time. So now we're in the meeting. So what do we do next?
Okay, and there are a couple of things to do here as well, so bear with me. The first thing is to have a really firm handshake, and I know that kind of goes without saying, but I don't know how many times I've had that opportunity to shake someone's hand, and it was just very light. And then sometimes you shake someone's hand and they're just about to crush you. So a firm, confident handshake. And you know, there's this whole study on different types of handshakes and what they mean. So a great firm handshake is just to grab the hand, shake it twice very firmly as you're making eye contact. And I know it's so important because a lot of these are nuances that people don't think about or they're not aware of, which can really help them build that relationship based on trust, is what we talked about. And then be present. So don't be thinking about other things. Don't be, first of all, turn off the cell phone. But don't be thinking about what you need to do an hour from now. Really be present and listen to everything that they have to say. Because it really makes a difference. I don't know how many times I've had people say to me, Elizabeth, you really listened to me. You listened to what I had to say. And that's huge for people.
Mm-hmm.
And then make the appointment about them. You know, don't be sitting there talking everything. You know, of course you want to let them know how you can provide a service or a product for them. But make it about them and their needs. And again, you know, write notes. But also, here's something very subtle. Be aware of body language. Be aware of their body language, how they're sitting or they're standing or their posture, and be aware of your body language as well.
Okay. All right. So again, we're at the beginning of the meeting. I want to, you know, say a few things on that, but anything in particular, any format of the meeting that you wanted to discuss, or just the subtle things are important. It doesn't matter what happens during the conversation. Or
okay. Well, I mean, if you're a real estate agent, obviously your meeting needs to be tailored to specifically what it is you're offering, whether it's a service or a product. And, of course, in real estate, you're offering your services. And so if you're going to a listing appointment, you're going to move through the steps of the listing. You're going to bring your competitive market analysis with you. You're going to go over how you market, how you would market their home. You're going to be prepared and bring the paperwork with them so that you're just assuming that they're going to sign the listing agreement. You have your camera with you, and you walk them through as if they're going to do business with you.
If
it's a different business, then it has to be customized specifically to what you offer.
Okay. All right. I like that. Awesome. Okay. So let me comment. Yes, the firm handshake is very important, or a proper handshake. You know, I think I've heard statements about a wimpy handshake turns people off right away. They don't take you seriously. Now, a crushing handshake, there are probably not a lot of people that do that, but then a crushing handshake is like, you know, you're probably trying to overpower somebody or something. But I want to spend some time on being present and listening. And I will tell you that when I was taught to be, you know, in sales, we taught on level 1, 2, and 3 listening skills. And I will tell you that a level 3 listener is someone that listens very intuitively. So you can have listening where you're listening only to comment, you're listening and you're thinking of your groceries, you're thinking of your head, maybe are they going to sign, you know what I mean, and you're not really listening. But level 3 listening is very, it's critical. And you know, as a coach, we have to listen. I remember when I was in training, one of the things that stuck with me when I was becoming certified is, you know, my instructors would say, as a coach, you have to listen to the waves behind the radio. So if you're communicating with someone, you are understanding, or you're listening to the waves, like, you know, it's on the radio. You know that we're talking right now, and the radio is broadcasting. So you listen very intently. And when you listen like that, it's, you know, you bond with people. You know, they tell you a lot of things that they don't really want to, because you're listening, you're empathetic, they're feeling that you are for them, because your responses would tell them that you are listening. So, you know, here as a radio host, I do the same thing. As a coach, I do the same thing. And, when you're on the phone, even, body language is very important. I was reading a book recently that was actually teaching on body languages. And, she was saying that when you look at someone on television, you can pick up what they're thinking with their body language. And I remember, like, a couple days later, I was watching Kelly and I forget his name, but and I saw her sitting with her hands folded, right? And I'm saying to myself, her body language is not open. And sure enough, we found out, like, a couple days later, they were having this big old fight. Michael Strahan. They were having this big old fight and everything. And everything blew up. So, yeah, body language is very important. I could tell what she was thinking from her body language. And, you know, when we're in a sales conversation, and, yeah, you're closed up like that, you've got to open yourself, open your heart, make sure that your body is open and your spirituality flows. Any rebuttal on that?
No rebuttal. I mean, I agree with you. One thing that I know, especially so we were talking about real estate, when you're meeting with a client, maybe you've met one time, and, you know, they're getting to the point where they need to make a decision, and say, for example, they are sitting back with their arms crossed, and as you know, that's obviously a closed position. Mm-hmm. And often what is helpful is if in the beginning you mirror their body language and you do the same, and then very slowly you start to open up and you start to lean forward, and that helps them to be open as well. Or, for example, if you're showing property and you've got someone who is a very slow walker and takes their time and looks around, and, you know, you mirror them, do the same thing, because then they feel like you're not rushing them. And then, you know, if you want to move them through the homes a little bit more quickly, you just step up the pace just a little bit, but start with mirroring their body language, and then get them to open by opening up yours. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that is very true. Again, you know, I'm having a sales 101 retraining here. But yeah, that is also something very important that they teach you in sales training regarding mirroring. And it works very well if you're going for a job interview as well, because it makes the person think that you're like them. And that's basically what it's all about. You know, tonality, body language, you know, leaning forward, mirroring them, you know, and they feel that, oh, this person is just like me, and people like people who are like them. They do business with people who are like them.
That's true. That's so true.
And it works wonderful. All right, so we're doing great here. A lot of good content, a lot of great information. So what do you think is the most important step that many business owners leave out? Now, we've been talking about, you know, we're walking our audience through, you know, setting the intention, you know, how to meet the client, how to be prepared. So, you know, again, we're using real estate as our model, but let's say that we are a small business person and you're meeting someone to sign a sales contract. What do you think that most of them leave out?
Well, the step that I have observed, and many clients that I've worked with, and even in the real estate industry, there's this, I don't want to say shyness, but they forget to have a call to action. In other words, they don't ask for the business. They do all of the prep work ahead of time. They show up, dress for success, they have all the information, they get all the way to the end, and then they don't ask for the business. And it's interesting. It's not that clients don't want to take the next step. It's usually they don't know what to do next. And it's our job as a business owner or an entrepreneur or a real estate agent, whatever your business is to let them know what the next step is. So ask for the business. So are you ready to list your home? Or you can even say, so let's get started. Here's what we do next. People forget to ask for the business, and then they walk away and wonder why they didn't close the deal.
Well, I will tell you that that's always been the hardest part of sales for me. So it's not necessarily that they forget. It's just that they are not bold enough.
I guess. And sometimes that happens, too. I understand.
Yeah. They're sometimes not bold enough because, and that is why in sales training, they teach you to just have the assumptive close. You know, you're just going to proceed and, and ask them because the assumptive close is easier than saying, however you say it, listing your home is probably not as hard as selling a home. Okay, so you've the other end of the real estate, you've shown people, 40 homes, and they're not, they're not buying any.
Yeah, right? They're not making a decision. Yeah.
They're not making a decision. So how do you say, are we going to write up a contract in this one, or, however, it's being bold, and a lot of people, either they're too aggressive, or they're not aggressive enough. It's hard to be right in the middle there. So, call to action. And you've done all this work, right? And you're right. You don't ask for the business. And they're not going to give it to you if you don't ask for it, very rarely. So you're right. It's a big step. And then they go and they hang their heads because they didn't get the sale, but they never asked for it. And that's why they're actually closers. One of the places that I've gone a lot, and I decided I wasn't going to go back again, is timeshare. You see how those people work? You ever been to a timeshare presentation?
I have, yes.
Yes. And you see how they work? They have this down pat, what we've just talked about, because they have a perfect sales model, but they never close. Someone else does the closing for them because they know that it takes a special person to do it. And even when the closer doesn't get you to say yes, they have another one that comes right after, offering you even better deals. So, it is. It's not an easy thing to do, to go for the close. Not an easy thing to do. So that's awesome. Now, let's take another quick station break. And we will be right back with Miss Elizabeth Gifford Maffei. Welcome back to the Mindset Transformations Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna, and we've been talking to the wonderful guest, Miss Elizabeth Gifford Maffei. And Elizabeth has been telling us or teaching us how to get a loyal customer, but also how to build relationships and actually close more business by not actually thinking of sales. You set the intention that you are going to be the best that you can be, that you are going to serve and not be self-centered or selfish and concentrate only on your needs. And when you do that, the universe actually provides more for you because you are going in it to serve and be of service. And there are certain steps that you do in order to building this relationship and the trust. And we talked about in our first segment setting the intention and being prepared, anticipating the questions, you know, dressing for success, being on time. And in our last segment, we talked about now that you are in the meeting, how to conduct the meeting so that you would have a positive outcome when you ask for the sale. So as we wrap up and we go into our final segment, we're going to ask Elizabeth to offer you, our listeners, something that she wants to leave behind or any special advice. And also, she will tell us how you can get in touch with her if you're looking for a speaker at your event, if you're looking for business coaching. Elizabeth will share her contact information and her leave behind with you.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's so important that we use our gifts and our unique talents and that we offer them to others, because if we don't offer our services or our products to them, we are actually doing them a disservice. Because you know, each of your listeners know, and you know that what you have to offer is so special and so unique, and that you take the best care of your clients, that you would be doing them a disservice, because if they go to use someone else, they may not be taken as well care of. So I'd love to leave your listeners with that thought. And also, I would love to offer your listeners a complimentary strategy session. It's over the phone, and I set aside, because I'm a big proponent of giving time, I set aside an entire hour just to have a conversation, and it's typically valued at $150, but I'm going to offer each of your listeners a complimentary session, and they can just contact me, give me a call, or they can email me directly, and my number is 321-303-8649, or they can email me at Elizabeth Gifford Maffei, and Maffei is spelled Maffei, at gmail.com. And I would love to have a conversation with them and see how we can help them move forward in their business.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, and I guess also if they're looking for a speaker, they can do the same thing or can contact you at that same number. And we'll repeat it. That's 321-303-8649. Now, you mentioned something in your bio that you didn't talk about here. What is the Empower Hour?
Well, I created the Empower Hour to leverage time. I'm all about leveraging time in people's businesses. And you know, as coaches, we look at other people's lives or businesses, whatever they're working on with us. And Empower Hour is created so that when you go out and you network and you meet people and you are creating a name for yourself, you want to get together and meet with them one-on-one, one person at a time. However, let's just say you met 12 people or 8 people in a week. It's going to take you 12 hours by the time you drive and meet for coffee. Perhaps you can do it over the phone once in a while. But Empower Hour is a small, leveraged way to get together, and in 1 hour, everyone gets to share about who they are personally, so we get to build relationships, how they serve their clients, and what's a great referral for them. So that this way we can be looking out for one another. And, you know, when you start referring business to other people, that you're really building respect and trust. And then they start thinking of you, and when they come across someone who can use their services, they refer to you as well. So it's a leveraged way to build relationships and to continue to have the, people whom you meet who may not do anything that, you know, relates to what you do, But they become a sales force for you because they trust you.
Okay, that's awesome. I like it. That is, yeah, I do a lot of networking. And you're right. You go to a network event and you get, 15 cards and you don't do anything with it. So that is a very good resource for, that you've created. Okay. Now, as we have been talking throughout our conversation, I've also been in sales for quite some time. And I went back and I, picked up a blog that I wrote and, a couple years ago, and I wanted to leave you with the four stages of the sale. Now, some of them are going to, mirror what Elizabeth was talking about, but there's a couple of steps that I have that's a little different. So the first one is qualify. You must qualify the prospect. They must have the money, the time, the need, and the want to contract your services. Some prospects come into the conversation pre-qualified in terms of money, but you might get to the end of the sale and they tell you they have no time. So in our conversation using real estate as our model, one of the ways that everybody qualifies somebody, a buyer, is, the first thing you ask them is, do you have your down payment? What's your credit score? Because there's no point taking someone and spending months showing them property and they're not qualified to buy. So we can use that as a good example. The second thing is building rapport. And I know Elizabeth didn't call it that, but what we were talking about was, building rapport, the handshake, the whole bit, because people buy from people that they like. And when you meet a prospect for the first time, it's important to find a common ground. We were taught, if you're meeting in person, you find something by looking at photographs on their walls, so their certification, their awards, the charity they support, their shoes, their bags, anything that you can say, hey, you know what, I have that too. You have common ground. My husband can always bond with men easily because he's a sports fanatic and all he has to do is start talking football. And he's got a friend.
Right, yes.
Stage three is sell the benefits of your product. Tell a story. Now, this is new for me because, when I was in sales training, they never told you that. But as a coach and as a motivational speaker, as a blogger, everybody is on the story, and I've seen that's the fastest way to speed things up is tell a story of how your product or service helps someone or what life experiences lead you to your current vacation. So, as a real estate agent, you can tell the story of, somebody that couldn't find a house or somebody that couldn't get their listing sold and something that you did to, have it sold in a week or, something that's phenomenal. And, you don't lie, of course, but you tell the story. And then finally, the close. We spent some time on that with Elizabeth. But if you follow the first three stages, then you can make an assumptive close. We were talking about, most people don't know how to ask for the business. And the assumptive close, you ask a question like, what time of the day would work for you? Would you like to use cash or credit or something like that? And that's assuming, or if you're talking about a listing agreement, you pull out the listing agreement and just tell them to sign. Let them object, And if you've gone to the close and you receive objections like, I don't have the money, I don't need your product or service, then you did not qualify or you missed the third stage of the selling the benefit of your services. So sales is a process. It's not an easy thing to do. A lot of people fall flat on their faces on it. But if your intentions are good, sometimes you'll muddle through it until you understand it. And then you're going to be doing, like Elizabeth talked about, you're going to have great relationships because people will see that you're a genuine person. Any comments that you want to either, comment on my four stages or anything else you want to share, Elizabeth?
That was perfection. I think between the two of us, we covered it all, and it's just a matter of what works. Put those things in place, and what works for each individual. Perfect.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, listen, we enjoyed sharing our knowledge and our expertise with you. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being on the show. I most enjoyed our conversation. Wishing you much success on your new ventures and on your, your coaching practice. Audience, you know that, every Wednesday we are here at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6, and I'm going to be bringing you guests that will change your mindset so that you can create an abundant life. We love that word. So good night, and thank you for listening.